Strange
Music.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Strange Music Podcast Interviews. My name is Victor Sandoval, and I'll be your host for today. Joining us live on the program today will be Ritz. With Chris Calico's Kicking and Screaming arriving soon, we'll be talking to Ritz about his highly anticipated guest appearance on the album, as well as his other work with Strange Music. We're also going to be talking to Ritz about his recently released project, White Jesus Revival, and get some insight on his experiences as an MC, plus his work with the Yellow Wolf. Awesome show today for you guys. I hope you can call us at 347-994-3066 and press 1 to talk to Ritz. In the interest of getting to everyone, please try to be mindful of the length of your question and or comment. Before we jump in with Ritz really quick, I just want to remind everyone that Cesscrew's mixtapes have officially dropped. Of course, I'm talking about The Devil from Godimus and Mad or Dope Money from Ubiquitous. These are solo releases from each member of Cesscrew, and they are now available for free download. So head on over to blog.strangemusicinc.net. and get your download on. The mixtapes are really dope. I really recommend them. I hope you guys dig them. Go out and get them. They're free. What else can you ask for? I believe we have Ritz on the line now.
Yeah.
Ritz.
What up, man?
What's going on, man?
Ah, man, chilling, man. How you doing?
Good, good. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, bro.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we have you on the line. Let's jump right into it. Obviously, the big thing that a lot of our fans want to hear about is the Chris Calico collaboration. Kicking and Screaming is coming up. A lot of the fans first found out about this through Twitter, and now Chris actually confirmed it. How did you first get involved with this album, and what can you tell me about the collaboration?
Well, the song is really dope, man. First off, I met Chris, I think, last year at Tree Sound Studios here in Atlanta, him and Tech One Town. They were doing a session with Yellow Wolf, and I went in and met him. Just a real cool dude, and he reached out to me with this record, Mayday, and put me on it, man. So I'm excited. It's really my third placement on the actual album that's being sold and stuff, so it's a real big deal for me, you know. So, but it's dope, man. I think all my fans are going to love it. I already know his fans are going to love it. So, you know, it's a big opportunity for me, man. I'm excited.
Oh, excellent. And how familiar were you with Chris Calico's music prior to this collaboration?
I really wasn't that much familiar with his music prior to meeting him. Once I met him, I went and did all my research, you know, and just spent a day YouTubing and just listening to music, man. And saw how dope he was. But, and, you know, he reached out, like I said, so it's a good fit, man. It's a good match. I think me and him together on the same track is a great match, and the record's dope. Can't wait till it comes out.
Absolutely. I know a lot of the fans are really looking forward to it. Having met him and having collaborated with him already, do you think you'll be looking to work with Chris Calico again in the future?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely, man. Not only just as an artist, but Chris was a real cool dude. I had talked to him when I was on tour, the last tour I was on. I called him up. We were just going back and forth through text, not knowing if we had the right phone number or whatever. And my voice was actually hoarse, so he was sitting there giving me advice on, you know, what to get from Whole Foods and shit. So I'm out trying to find stuff to make my voice go back to normal. So Chris is just a cool dude, period, you know, much less a great rapper. So, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to work with him more in the future.
Very cool. A lot of Strange Music fans are actually really familiar with you and your music. Is this something that you've noticed personally?
I have noticed it a little bit, man. I think there's something there, like something in common that we have that, you know, Strange Music fans show me love. You know, you start, once you get out and start touring, it's just like everybody's Strange Music fans. I was just like, it's crazy. Like everybody's coming up to me was just Strange Music fans. And like, I was just surprised, not surprised really. It's just, I was getting a lot of love and it happened everywhere I went. So yeah, it was something that happened to pop up everywhere and it's real common. So Strange Music fans are the shit. And, I think just this feature is going to help out with just spread my name even more to that fan base.
Right. And on this feature, what can fans expect from you on this? Some more of that speedy flow?
Yeah. More of the speedy flow. You know, we're talking about the rap game and kind of where it's at. In our view of where the rap game's at right now, and just, you know, it's Mayday. So it's dope, man. The speedy flow and just really addressing how I feel, my opinion on where the game's at right now as far as music goes.
Cool. And I know a lot of the fans, if you have not seen that yet, Chris did do a teaser video for Mayday. That's up now on blog.chriscalico.com. Very cool video.
Yeah.
The song sounds great so far from the teaser that he put out.
Yeah, it's really dope. I didn't know he's putting a teaser out, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, man, it's about to go down. So yeah, it was really dope. It was a great look for me.
Now, this collaboration with Chris isn't the first time that you've actually worked with someone from Strange. You previously collaborated with Tech on Nikia's When I Was High, the remix.
Yeah.
Tell me about that collaboration and how that came about.
When that collaboration came about, I don't even think Tech knew I was going to be on that record to begin with. Shout out to Willpower, first of all, super hot beats. He works with Nikia and made the track for the record. You know, he produced all the tracks on Yellow Wolf Trump Music. Or most of the tracks on Yellow Wolf Trump Music. And Will had called me up. We went to the studio. Will was playing us tracks, and he played me a track that he played me that track, and he said they were trying to get Wiz on it or something like that. I think that was the situation. And I was just sitting in my head, man, I wish I could get on that goddamn track. So eventually, I guess something fell through with that, or just whatever happened. And they were like, hey, you want to get on it? And I was just, hell yeah, you know, I broke through it immediately. So that was a really huge deal to get to do a song with Tech and just be on the same record with him. And Nikia too. Nikia's great. Nikia's dope as fuck. So it was just big, man. It's one of my favorite records, period.
Yeah, and I know that track particularly isn't brand new or anything, but at the time when it did come out, what kind of reception were you getting back from Tech N9ne fans?
Oh, great reception. Yeah, great reception. Great reception from Tech fans. I get a lot of, you know, Tech and Rich need to be on more records. You know, that's always popping up just daily on Twitter, on Facebook, and just, you know, other social networks like that. People like the collaboration, so I think it's a good fit.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know we can't say too much about this, but I think we're clear to confirm that there is more on the way from you and Tech.
I do have some stuff in the works with Tech, which I'm extremely excited about. And, you know, I definitely have some stuff in the works. So everybody that's saying that Ritz and Tech need to do some more shit, I've got it coming. And it's extra dope. So we'll be able to speak on it pretty soon. Right now, things are still in the works, but it's definitely coming. It's 100%. So, yeah, I'm really excited.
Dope. And there you go. For everyone on Twitter constantly tweeting about Tech and Ritz working together, there you go. It is coming.
Yeah, it's coming. It is coming. And shout out to everybody tweeting about it anyway. You know, just seeing that and, you know, that type of shit makes things happen. So, shout out to
them. Yeah, actually, and speaking of Twitter, do you want to give out your Twitter handle real quick?
Yeah. The Twitter is The Real Ritz, T-H-E, Real Ritz, The Real Ritz. At The Real Ritz, and just holler at me, man. Ask me to follow back. I'll follow back. I'm on there. So hit me up.
For all the listeners listening in, make sure you follow Ritz. You know, there is one thing that I really wanted to talk to you about, and one thing that I admire about your music is that you're really willing to be open with your listeners, and you share a lot of heartfelt stuff.
Right.
How important is it to maintain that in your writing?
That's really important. I mean, the best songs to me are the ones that come straight from the heart, you know? I mean, it's hard for every song to be like that. You know, sometimes certain beats bring it out of you. But I think it's really important. You know, I like to rap about what's really going on, like the real shit, like what's really going on. So, you know, I try to make that happen as much as I possibly can. Like I said, every record can't be like that. But, you know, I try to include it in whenever I can, especially normally the track brings it out. You know, you hear a track that brings out emotions and you just start rolling with it. And those are actually the easiest raps to write. When you're sitting around trying to think about dope shit to say or tight metaphors or stuff like that, you know, sometimes it takes a minute. When it's coming from the heart and it's something that happened in real life and that you're actually dealing with or struggled with before in the past, it comes out easy. It just flows, you know.
Right, and I know sometimes, especially with hip-hop, sometimes male listeners won't be as accepting as some other listeners to tracks like that. What is it like to have to balance sort of the topics in your writing?
It's weird to balance, man. I struggle with writing a lot because I'm a real self-conscious rapper. Like, you know, I kind of envy. You know, when I was, you know, back in the day, you know, when I was younger and just, you know, had a different kind of feeling about the rap game. You know, it was funner to write, and you had this different feeling. But now it is hard to balance. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. Should I rap about this, or what type of song should I put out, or this or that? There's a lot that goes into that. So, but the best thing to do is block it out. You know, Yellow Wolf told me some advice a long time ago, actually not that long ago, but a while back, to just go, just write, and whatever you write is dope. Just stop thinking it's not dope. Just go with it, because it's dope. It's discovered it, because I'm the type of writer, I'll write a little bit and say, fuck this rap. I'll crumble it up and throw it away. And it might have been something that was really tight, but I just get I think too hard sometimes. So that's the, and that goes back to the from the heart raps. Those are the best ones because they come out, and the next thing you know, the rap's done. So, but it is a hard balance. But sometimes the tracks steer you in a direction where you need to go.
No, definitely. Something that the fans definitely pick up on. There is one thing I wanted to touch on is that you were recently actually at South by Southwest.
Right.
How was that experience?
It was great, man. South by Southwest is crazy. You ever been?
I've never had the opportunity to go.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like thousands of people. Everybody does music. Everybody's a rapper, a singer, and a band, and the streets are just filled with people. It was crazy. Like, this is my second time going. My first time going last year, I had like two shows, and then this year I had a lot more. So, you know, I could tell the increase of just the buzz and just different people that knew who I was. So it's a great feeling. It's just a great place to be. If you do music, you got to be there. You know what I'm saying? You got to try to make it there at some point just to experience it, because it's fucking crazy.
Right. Did you happen to catch any live performances that really stood out to you?
You know what? Not really, man. When you go down there as an artist, it's kind of like you got to be here, got to be here, got to be here. You know what I mean? So you don't get to really enjoy it as you would as like a fan of music going down there and seeing people perform. So I didn't really get to see too much. There's a lot of waiting. It's a lot of waiting around, waiting to see when you can go on. It's a lot of confusion. But I mean, it's fun, too, at the same time. Don't get me wrong. But it's definitely a different experience as going down there as an artist who's actually got shit to do, and then going down there as somebody who's just down there to catch performances, you know, so.
Right. And, you know, speaking of live performances, what kind of things are you trying to bring during your live performances?
You know, really, man, like, every time I perform, it gets better. You know, I still got a lot to work on as far as my live performance. If anything, I want people to take away to hear that lyrics, you know, to put emphasis on. I really just want to have people walking away from my show and being like, wow, dude can spit. You know, that's the ultimate goal. You know, I'm not an extreme, like, hype rapper. You know, I don't get the crowd too, you know, I'm not too crunk on the stage, but I try to get my lyrics across as much as possible. So my main goal is just having everybody walking away like, wow, dude's dope. You know, and it seems to be working, man. The shows have been going great. The shows at South by Southwest were really cool. Everybody was showing love. So, and the tours I've been doing have been great. So, you know, I'm pretty happy with it. There's always room for improvement, though, stage shows, though.
Absolutely. I know one thing that a lot of people who are faster rappers always talk about, how hard it is to pull that off on stage. I know Tech N9ne particularly always talks about how hard it is. What kind of experiences have you had with that?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm kind of fat and out of shape, dog. Like, it's hell sometimes. Sometimes you walk away like, why the hell did I decide to be a fast rapper? Like, and I've seen Tech perform. Tech's the shit. Like, but, yeah, it's crazy for me. Like, I'm getting up there, my face is bright red because I'm getting it all out. But I get it in, man. I get the job done. But, yeah, man, it's hard. It's definitely hard to get out there and keep the fast lyrics going while you're trying to work the stage at the same time. It is not an easy job by any means. Normally, I'm up there working it and people can't tell. But a lot of times while I'm spitting the lyrics, I'm like, Jesus Christ, I hope I can just get through this song. You know what I mean? But, yeah, it's definitely difficult. But I'm getting it down, though. It's been working out good, man.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like it's a workout for just about anybody.
It is, man.
Hip-hop, you know, it's largely criticized for its lack of good live shows. A lot of people like to say that there's not a good enough ratio of good to bad. Is that something that that you've, you know, how do you feel about that, actually?
I kind of agree. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with the sound. You know, a lot of bands, when you got a rock band or a band, they go in and sound check and everything straight, and you get the sound check in hip hop too, at once you get to a certain level to where people give a shit about you performing there, like the people that actually work at the clubs will give you a sound check and stuff. But you know, if the monitors, which are the speakers coming back at you so you can hear yourself, if they're not loud enough, you end up screaming your lyrics. Once you scream your lyrics, you start sounding like shit to the crowd. You got to scream because you can't hear yourself, so you run out of breath. Then the rest of the show kind of goes downhill from there. You know what I mean? So I think that's why hip-hop shows may get a bad rap, from certain people that, you know, don't like them, you know. But I think once you do it enough, you'll have to realize that you just keep your voice where you need it to be, even if you can't hear yourself, and just hope that they're hearing you out there so you don't start screaming and shit. But I think that's where a lot of rappers go wrong. They start screaming all loud and then just start running out of breath, and then, you know, it kind of goes downhill. But sometimes it doesn't matter. I mean, if you got a bunch of fans in the crowd that know all the words, they, you know, it doesn't make a difference. But to a new listener, you know, trying to grab some new ears, you know, you definitely can't start screaming and getting carried away on the stage, because the show's not going to sound that great.
Right. And, you know, having performed so much, I imagine you've seen a lot of other hip-hop performers. Who are some of the ones that have really stood out to you as great performers on stage?
Well, I mean, of course, well, Yella Wolf is probably the greatest performer on stage I've seen, and I'm not just praising him for that just because I'm, you know, that's my boy. Like, he's amazing on the stage. I remember seeing him way back before any of this shit happened, and I was like, Jesus, this dude is a monster, like, you know. So Yella Wolf is great. When I saw Tech, he was great. You know, Big Crit is the shit live, you know. I like seeing his performances. You know, the first rap show I ever went to was The Roots in Atlanta. Like, a buddy of mine took me to a Roots show, and they were great, man. Like, Black Thought and the whole band, like, was killing it, man. So it was dope. But those are the ones that really stand out to me. Like, you know, I haven't, to be honest, like, before The Roots show and before me really getting out here as an artist myself, I never really been to any real rap concerts in my life, you know. I've never been to that many concerts, period, man. I think I went with an ex-girlfriend to see, like, Diana Ross, and I think I saw Carlos Santana and shit like that. I did see Sade. Sade was about the dopest performance I've ever seen, period. But I haven't seen a lot of rap concerts as a fan.
Yeah, no, well, The Roots is definitely a good one to start with.
Oh, yeah, they were crazy.
On that note, I do want to get to some of the callers we have here. We have a lot of callers. Again, if you're calling in to talk to Ritz, please call us at 347-994-3066 and make sure you press 1 to be put through. Again, I'm going to ask that you be considerate with the time as we're trying to get to everyone. Let's hit up Dan in Catersville.
Hey, Dan. Ritz.
Yo.
Hey, Ritz.
Dan.
What's up, man?
Yeah, what's up, homie?
Hey, I got the tattoo of you on my stomach.
Man, come on, Dan. You're my homie. This is Dan. You're in Cartersville, right?
Yeah, Cartersville.
Dan is in Cartersville, Georgia. He got my face tattooed on his stomach. Dan is my homie. He's the man. I was just watching footage of the Huntsville show the other day. Saw you in the crowd, man. What's up with you? All right?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I can't wait to see you Wednesday, dude.
Yeah, man. It's going down Wednesday night, man. I got your message about the merch and everything like that, man. But it's coming. New shit is coming, man.
Revival CDs?
I won't have them by the time on Wednesday. But
I'm
will
just talking
have them.
In general.
Yeah. No, they're coming. They're coming right now. They're getting printed up right now. I just won't have them by Wednesday at the show. But yeah, bro, I definitely got them, man.
Okay.
Definitely got them, man. Hell yeah, dog. You been bumping the Revival shit?
Yeah, I've been bumping it. Everybody in Cartersville is bumping it now.
Thanks, homie. Thanks, man.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it, though.
So you can get to a bunch of other people.
Yeah, that's what's up, Dan. But shit, I will see you
coming
out Wednesday.
Wednesday, man. Yeah, I'll be
okay,
there Wednesday.
I'll see you Wednesday night, dog.
All right, man. Shout out to Dan. You got a tattoo, you said?
Yeah, Dan got my face tattooed on his stomach.
Okay, wow. That's a fan right there.
Nah, it was... That shit was so huge to me. Like, my buddy had filmed the show in Huntsville, Alabama, and Dan was there, and that's after he got the tattoo. And I just actually went to my buddy's house to watch the footage the other day because he didn't have anybody edit it yet. And I saw Dan, so it kind of just brought the new situation up. I mean, that was like 2 days ago when I did that. So, yeah, shout out to Dan, man. That was the first time anybody ever tatted something, especially my face on his fucking stomach. So, like, Dan's a man. I told him he gets free merch for life, whatever you want.
Yeah, no, that's major, man. We need more people like Dan to call in.
For real.
As we're moving on here, let's go to Donnie in Detroit.
All right, cool.
Donnie,
what up? Yo, what up? Yeah, I'm with
Donnie.
Yo, what up?
What up, homie?
Nada, man. Remember that show up there at the Viper Alley in Chicago?
Huh?
That show at the Viper Alley in Chicago, man.
Yeah, I know you, Johnny.
Yeah. So
crazy ass fucking
at,
man.
Yo, what about that hangover? Did you have one the next day too?
Man, I honestly, I don't even remember, man. I was pretty hammered that night.
Dude, I was fucking, I was blitzed. But yo, the reason I'm getting at you, man, I've been getting at Senator trying to figure out some tour dates, and he said you guys are in the process of booking them, man. So I mean, like, how far along is that coming?
I don't know, man. We're kind of waiting right now. Like, we're waiting on some promoters to get back at us. Supposed to be today, actually. I'm trying to start a little run for myself with some other dudes out of Texas that's going on. I mean, really ain't no shit that I can even speak on yet because it's not official. But, man, I mean, it's inevitable. I'm going to get back out there soon. So,
man, you got it, man. I mean, I ain't had a hangover like that in a long time, man. So we got to get back up on that. And, who put that, who laid that guitar track on that Nowhere to Run? Because that shit's dope, man.
Yeah, Nowhere to Run, actually, Ricky Fontaine, who plays guitar with Burn One in the 5 Points group, played the guitar on the track. And then the solo at the end is a homeboy of mine, Corbin King, and he's one of the best guitar players, in my opinion, in the world. Like, I've worked with him at, is that what you're talking about, the solo?
Yeah, because when he rips it, like, I've had people come up to me and go, yo, is that like Zach Wilde and shit? And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I worked with this guy at Mars Music. There's a music store down here, like kind of like Guitar Center is, and it went out of business. But me and him just hit it off. It was real cool, and like I never really, and my dad's a musician. Like the dude, fucking Corbin, is amazing. So once I finally got the chance to get him on some shit, I did. So I'm definitely gonna get him back on. But he's in a group called Vain Glory, man. So check it out. They do like metal shit, but Corbin's the shit, man. Corbin's the shit. All right. But everything good with you, bro?
Oh man, maybe we doing good up here, man. I'm pushing that shit, that White Jesus revival like crazy, man. There ain't nobody around here that don't know, and if they don't, then we make sure and put them up on it, man.
What's up, man?
Oh, I definitely want to get back out to see you, man. So get them dates booked and whatnot, and we'll kick it like mad, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, all day, man. Shit, you already know, man. You're my boy, dog. So shit, I will be up there, man. We'll be in touch.
All right, very cool. Donnie Detroit, shout out, man. Thanks for calling in.
Can I say something about Donnie real quick?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This guy, Donnie, the whole time I was performing, was flicking off people that wasn't getting down with it. They were, like, older, like, there were older people in the crowd that weren't even there to see rap. Like, they were there to see Rehab. They were, like, and you know, they were older, like, had some money and shit. They were on dates with their wives and shit. He's just flicking them off, like, telling them fuck y'all. So shout out to Donnie, man. Donnie's a man.
Absolutely. I actually know the date you're talking about. That was here in Illinois. Absolutely. Let's keep moving here. Kendall in Texas. Let's see what you have to say.
Okay, cool.
Yo, Ritz. What's up, man?
Yo, what's up, dog?
Hey, man. I'm 16. I actually want to rap when I get older. You have any advice, man?
What are you doing? What are you doing now? You got some music together?
Actually, man, I live kind of by San Antonio. They're recording studios there. Apparently, they don't allow you to cuss. It's mostly that rock band stuff. I mean, I like Yellow Wolf's music. It's like really cool. He puts rock into it. Yeah. And my favorite song by you was How Do You Go to Sleep at Night? Man, that was like off the bomb.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, about, pretty much, that's all I kind of do is just freestyle with my friends and stuff. I mean, I have a buddy that does beats, but, I mean, we don't really know what to do with them.
Well, shit, you know, what I would do is, the only advice I got, like, to tell you is just keep writing and keep doing your things and make songs, you know. Sometimes, like, the freestyling and hanging out and shit is definitely cool and dope to do. But when you get some time, you know, get you some songs, write some songs. You know, real songs with hooks and shit like that, and find people who got beats, man. And I don't know, I mean, you're 16, you probably go to school, right? You go to school?
Yeah, I go to school.
Yeah, it's just like, I guess it's, you know, you got a job and shit or no?
Nah, not a job.
Well, you know what? I would say this, bro. Like, when I fucking didn't have no job or do nothing, I went on some of these websites that got, like, beats, like SoundClick.
yeah.
Sound Click, shit like that. Go get the beats, man. Write songs to them and get your songs ready. And even if you don't have nowhere to record them right now, get the songs ready. And when you find somebody who can let you in and show you some love on the recording shit, start recording. That's what I used to do, Sound Click, dog. And I would just rap over people's beats, instrumentals. You know, sometimes people let you lease beats, or you just rap on their instrumentals that they get for free downloads, and just start there, man. You know what I'm saying? Start making songs.
Hey, well, when you come to San Antonio, y'all going there anytime soon?
I don't know. Hopefully soon. Like I was just talking about with the last dude called. I'm trying to get on another run. I mean, regardless, I'm gonna come there at some point. I mean, everything just kind of taking off of me a little bit right now. So I just was on like two tours already. So I mean, touring is where it's at. So I'm definitely gonna be there at some point. So right now we're just trying to get dates booked and get me to where, you know, people will be at and come to. So I will definitely be there at some point, man. And when I do, just, you know, if you're online, if you're on my Facebook or Twitter, just holler at me and tell me it's Kendall from San Antonio, and just holler, man. I'll make sure we catch up at the show or whatever.
Cool. Kendall, make sure you do that. You can follow Ritz at The Real Ritz right on Twitter. Let's see what Zach in Michigan has to say.
Okay, cool.
Hello?
Yo, what's up, Zach?
Yo, Ritz, this is Zach. I'm from Michigan. Me and my brother and a couple of my friends have always been trying to rap. We mostly just freestyle when we get drunk or whatever, but I wanted to know if I could, like, spit something for you and you could tell me how it works.
Go ahead, man. Spit it.
All right. I've been set to demolish, my skills fully polished, shining like the cash bulging out of my wallet. Yet I still hear you call this stupid simple, but I'm a music minstrel. You should dip ho before I pop you like a useless... Could you imagine what life would be like if I wasn't doing this rapping? If I lose it, it's tragic. My voice is gonna call me the newest of Chaplin because I make it happen. They ask how detox, he rocks so many G-spots, clean shots, green tops, you know that I see lots. But I mean watch as I make the whole crowd lean rock, beginning anew, ahead of the few competitors who left, not dead by the crew. You should really get a hobby, you acting so sloppy. Practice tonight might not be enough for you to drop me. In the future, I don't see me stopping.
Yeah, that's what's up, dog. That's dope. That's dope, man. And I like
right,
the way I like the way you do the syllables, man. I'm real big on just the syllables matching, man. It's really tight, man.
All
don't
right,
shit.
So do you have any advice, like any ways I can improve what I could do to try to get out there more, get my name out there, whatever?
I mean, I would say this, dog, like, and I was telling the last dude this, is like, you got, like, just make some songs, and as far as take your verses, make sure you get some hooks. Put your hooks on there and make your song 16-bar hook or 12 bars. It doesn't have to be 16, but, you know, that way make you some songs. And because it's surprising, like, and I'm that type of dude, I think, like, man, I'm snapping. People want to hear me snapping. So many people just want to hear songs, you know. So take those verses, put them with a hook, make you some songs, and push it on the internet, man. And if you can, I don't know what your financial situation is like, save up some money, man, and try to get some type of visuals. You know, of you rapping that shit and constantly feed YouTube with that shit. That would be my advice. You know, or if you want to do it old school way, get it and print some CDs up and put it around. Where you at, Michigan?
Lansing.
Yeah. Go around Lansing and go to these gas stations, corner stores, and see if they'll let you sit your CDs in there. You know, make your little demo, get your little cover printed up. It doesn't have to be nothing too professional, but just see if they'll sit it in there for free. You know, hand it out to people. However you got to do to start a buzz, man. But I like the rap, man. It's dope shit.
All right, very cool. Zach from Michigan, shout out to you. Normally we have a disclaimer about freestyles, but Ritz was very cool about it, very nice guy, and you gave him some advice, so.
Oh, yeah, no, it's all good, man. I mean, I get it, man. You know, it's like people want to get a chance to rap some shit. So it's like, you know, it is what it is. Shout out to Zach, man. Shout out to Michigan.
Absolutely. Let's see what Jesse in Salt Lake City has to say.
All right, cool.
Yo, Red.
Yo.
Big up, dog. Yo. Repping Salt Lake City. You know, I get down to 801 family.
What's up, dog?
I just heard you talking that you're trying to do some dates and all that. You said you're fucking with some dudes out of Texas. Well, what's good, man? I tried to hit you up on Twitter. I've hit the emails. I'm trying to get you to Salt Lake City, man. Let's make it poppin'.
What's your name?
Jesse James, 801 family. I hit you up on Twitter, jjames801.
What's the email? Same thing?
801-FAMENT, so 801FAMENTERTAINMENT@gmail.com.
Okay, that's what's up. Yeah, most of the time, like, man, I've been, what it is, man, when you get so many people hitting me up, like, about shows and shit, so I let my manager handle it. So it's so much going on, you know, it's a lot to respond to. So if you ain't got responded to, that's why. But, man, you can always hit me up personally and just be like, dog, just like you're doing right now, like, I'll fit you up. What's the deal? Like, normally he works that, and it's confusing, man, once you get to this point. There's so much shit in the works. You don't want to say okay with somebody and book something with you in Salt Lake City or wherever, and then another opportunity comes up to do something else, and then you're confined into doing something. So it's just tricky, man. That's what it is. But shit, I'm here, dog. I'm down. I'm trying to get out there.
Man, let's make it pop. And how you want me? You want me to hit you on the Ritz on the Gmail or what?
Yeah, the Gmail is what it is. But you could always just hit me on Twitter personally and be like, dog, I talked to you on the Strange Music Podcast the other day. This is what it is, and I'll get back with you at least and let you know what's going on, or at least let you know why you haven't got a response or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
All right, Jesse in Salt Lake. There you go. Hit him up.
Shout out to Jesse. Shout out to Salt Lake City, too, man. We did the Hard White Tour out there. They were, like, one of the best crowds, for real.
Oh, definitely. Salt Lake City, a very big crowd for a lot of hip-hop artists, definitely.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to remind our listeners that if you're trying to get through to talk to the Ritz, please press 1. Now, right now, I'm going to take just one more caller, but don't worry. I am coming back to do a second break for the rest of you guys. So let's see what Tony in Phoenix has to say. Tony.
Hey, what's going on?
Tony, what up, bro?
Man, just chilling, man. First off, I just want to say high five from AZ to GC. You know what I'm talking about?
High five. What's up, man? Thanks, bro.
Man, I just want to ask, man, how'd it feel just to go on your first, was that Hard White Tour was your first tour, correct?
Yeah, the first tour where I didn't go back home. Like, I was touring with Rehab, like, where I was driving and shit just on some weekends or a few days here and there. But, yeah, the Hard White was the first big one.
Man, how'd it feel after you got everything finished and you got home and you just settled in? How'd that feel, man?
It felt great, man. I was like, you know, we're all vulnerable as artists and shit. So, you know, I thought when I go back home, it's just going to take right off, you know, and shoot through the moon. But it's just, it's a constant, constant work in progress. But, man, it was great, man. Anytime I could be around Yellow Wolf or be around, like, you know, the shit like that, just moving up in levels of the game. So, it was great, man. It was great.
Hell yeah. Any particular artist you want to work with in the future? Like, anyone you have in mind, like, man, I want to work with, dude?
You know, there's a lot of people, man. You know, and it's kind of, I get asked that question a lot, and I got like, some weird features I want to get done. I'm actually, and this is some shit that I haven't even talked about yet, I'm actually trying to do a mixtape called My Homies, where I take Scarface's idea of, you know, back in the day, and just do something with a lot of artists that I fuck with featured on it. So I'm going to fuck with it there. Not to, like, go around your answer. I don't really have anybody specific. I got a lot of people on the underground that are coming up like me that I want to work with. And there's a lot of legendary people in the game I want to work with, but probably won't be able to at this point. But, you know, I'm crossing my fingers, man. You know, see what happens.
Very cool. Thank you to Tony for calling in. Excellent question. Excellent comment. Shout out, Tony. All right, well, for everyone who is just tuning in, we are live with Ritz. We've been talking about the upcoming collaboration on Chris Calico's Kicking and Screaming, and, of course, the yet-to-be-announced Tech 9 collab. Now, I want to focus a little bit more on your music. Something that I did want to talk about is that a lot of listeners may not actually realize that you were pretty much ready to give up on music before everything sort of started to work out.
Yeah.
Tell me about that and what convinced you to finally stick with it.
Well, the only thing that convinced me to stick with it was Yellow Wolf coming through. I mean, I didn't really want to give it up, but I gotten to that point where, you know, I was getting older, and I tried for so many years. And it's a different game nowadays, but back when I was trying, you know, to come up, I mean, it was weird to, you know, try to get it in. You had to have radio singles or something that play in the clubs down here in Atlanta, or trying to really grind it out. So I was just kind of fed up, and I was just sick of not having nothing. I dropped out of school when I was 16 and pretty much thought I was going to make it big as a rapper, as I'm sure a lot of people do that's out there right now. And I thought that for years and years and years. And I always thought I was better and I'm this and I'm good and this is what my life's meant to be like. And you always think real big. And then I never thought that reality would sink in, that, whoa, this might not happen. And that shit started to sink in on me at some point. And it's just funny, right when it started to sink in, that's when everything started happening for Yellow Wolf. And not only did it start happening for him, he decided to help me out, which is crazy. And it's still crazy to me. It still baffles me that dude decided to do that, you know. And but it gets like that. Even if you're younger right now and you're thinking that this is going to happen and this is it, it might. But there's a chance that it might not. But you won't know that it might not until you decide to in your head. So, yeah, that it came on that point for me. But luckily, the shit started happening. And honestly, I said I'm still not there yet. You know, it's still a work in progress. So nothing comes easy at all.
Right, and you mentioned Yellow Wolf several times, and of course everyone knows your connection to him. How did you guys first meet, and how has that relationship developed as you've gone on?
I first met him through my manager, Transcend. They were in a crew called Dixie Mafia, and Yellow Wolf was doing his thing like on the underground Atlanta tip. Like, and Atlanta is weird. You got like the hood type strip club type radio shit, and then you have an underground type of thing, and Yellow Wolf was killing it on the underground, and I've never been exposed to that. I was performing in strip clubs and doing, like, you know, open mic nights at clubs and shit. But Yellow Wolf and them were doing, like, real, like, hip-hop shows, and he'd be, like, the main act. So I finally got invited to see his show through Transcend, my manager, which wasn't my manager at the time. We met over the internet, and me and Yellow Wolf met, and then Yellow Wolf invited me to perform at one of his shows, and he liked what he saw and thought I was dope. So we just, as from rapper to rapper, just started respecting each other, and then we ended up doing a track together. And that was it. Once we did that track together and he heard it, we just ended up talking on the phone. And just when we started talking on the phone, he was going through hard times like I was, but he knew that it was about to be his time, and he was going to start working on a new album and going in a different direction. He wanted to get back to his rap shit because he was doing something a little bit different with a live band and stuff like that with the album Arena Rap. And that's when we started talking. So everything's been going good. I mean, that dude, he went out and blew the fuck up, and he stuck to his word and came back and helped me out, you know, which he didn't have to do. And it got to a point, I didn't talk to Yellow Wolf for like 7 months. It was a long time when he was out there doing his thing, and I watched his videos and see him performing Trump music and everything. And I'm thinking in my head, like, well, if this dude doesn't call me and help me out, it's all good. At least he reached out to put me on Box Chevy. But he did, man. He stuck to his word and helped me out, put me in Tree Sound Studios and helped me record White Jesus and get that done. So, you know, and that's pretty much the relationship. I mean, either way, you know, on a music level, I look up to him. I mean, where he's at, and he's obviously great at what he does. But at the same time, he's my boy. Like, you know, he's my homeboy. So that's what it is.
Absolutely. And I think we have to give a big shout-out to Yellow Wolf. I know a lot of the Strange Music fans follow him. So,
yeah, most definitely. Shout-out to motherfucking Yellow Wolf, the whole Slamerican crew. Great people. So that's the family.
Right on. I know you guys, you share a lot of similarities in your flow, but the most obvious being that you're both sort of speedy rappers.
Right.
For you personally, how did that develop? Was there an artist who influenced you to try out that style?
Not really. I mean, I guess back in the day, way back in the day, I was always up on it. Like, I always had albums done on my own, like in my basement at the house, and I had a group, and we put out mixtapes locally forever. And they were CDs back then, but I guess they would be called mixtapes. And I would dabble in it. You know, I guess Twister, you know, Do or Die. Do or Die and Twister I was really up on. So I started dabbling in it. And then when Biggie came out and did the shit with Bone, and of course Bone. I mean, when I was in ninth grade in high school, I used to go around, you feeling the strength of the Bronx, the Bone, you know, rapping the Bone shit and just seeing that I could do that. And then, you know, I always dabbled in it. And then around 2007, when I put out 770 and the Johnny Valiant shit that I did locally here, the songs that were getting the best reception was the ones I was double-timing on and going fast on. And around 2004, you know, 2003 and shit, it was back mainstream music. G-Unit was on top and shit like that. Around 2004, Crunk got popular with Lil Jon and everything, so the beat, the tempo of the beats on mainstream radio slowed down. So when I would try to rap on those type of beats, slow without double time, and I thought I sounded like everybody else, like T.I., like anybody else who rapped on those type of beats. So I just found my niche on rapping on them double time, and it just stuck. That's just it just stuck with me. So that's where it came from.
Very cool. I know a lot of the fans have really taken to that style, you know, and talking about people who may have influenced you, I know you mentioned Scarface earlier. I know the Ghetto Boys are important to you. What role did their music play in your career?
They played a huge role, and they still do. They still do. When I first started rapping, they were my N.W.A. You know, I wasn't I started listening to Dr. Dre when Chronic came out. You know, I wasn't a big N.W.A. person, just being honest. I just didn't know about it or was too young or something like that. But when I first got exposed to Scarface and the Ghetto Boys, I mean, I was just, like, infatuated with rap, you know. So, and then once I got to mature and know the difference between the sounds of rap from East Coast, West Coast, to down south, that sound, I related to it the most. You know, just the Houston, the Fifth Ward sound of Rap-A-Lot and Jay Prince, you know, talking on the intros and just, I just love that shit, and I still do. I was doing a show in Austin, Texas at South by Southwest, and the Coffee Brothers, which is Devin the Dude crew, was out there, and I got off stage, and this dude slapped my hand. He was like, "Man, I'm E-Rock from the Fifth Ward Boys." And I was like, hold the fuck up. Like, and I told this dude, like, as a rapper, it's not cool to fan out on other rappers. You got to act like it's no big deal being around them, right? And shit. But I told E-Rock from the Fifth Ward Boys, I'm like, dog, you don't understand. Like, I listen to you every fucking day, like seventh grade, like where my parents would be pissed, like playing that type of rap music. Like I looked up to him, and he's sitting there watching me perform. That was a big deal for me. So, you know, they played a major role in my life as far as rap music and just life period, soundtrack to my life.
Yeah, that's a really cool story to go along with that as well. You know, I want to make sure that we do talk about this, which is your most recent release, White Jesus Revival.
Yeah.
For anyone who already may have White Jesus, the original, what is new on this release?
We put 8 new songs on it, really 7 new songs, and then put Wishing on there. I basically when we put out the original White Jesus, in my head, I thought that shit was just going to take off and do what it did. And it did good. You know, I've been doing well since we put it out. But the more I traveled on the Hard White Tour with Rehab, the more I realized there hasn't been a lot of people that heard it. You know, there's way more people that haven't heard it than have. So I still think there's some time for some of those records. So instead of rushing to a next project, I just wanted to put 8 new songs on there for the people that already have heard it to hear some new shit. And then for the majority of people who haven't ever heard of me before would have, you know, the old and the new. So it just gives more time. We're going to shoot more videos for that. You know, High Five is such a major record for me. Every state I go to perform that, people love it. So, you know, I think, you know, it's giving more time for that to grow. You know, it's getting radio play here in Atlanta and a couple other cities. So, you know, that was the whole point of Revival. And it was just also to get some people some new shit. So shout out to everybody that downloaded Revival. And you could go download Revival right now at djbooth.net, Ritz White Jesus Revival. And you'll like the shit. Download it.
All right. I'm glad you said that, actually. I wanted to remind our listeners where they can get that. But like Ritz just said, djbooth.net, you can grab it there.
Yeah.
You know, for anyone who hasn't checked either the original or the new one out and is just going into this new, what kind of guest features can they expect on this?
I'm trying to think what guest features on there. It's basically, I got 8 Ball on there, which is huge. You know, speaking of Texas and Fifth Ward Boys and Ghetto Boys, how much they influenced me. So did 8 Ball and MJG and UGK. So for me to have 8 Ball on the same record with me was just a big deal. 8 Ball's on it. I got Yellow Wolf on there a couple times. Of course, I got Big Crit on there with me, with Yellow Wolf, and Big Crit is probably my favorite rapper, period, right now. And so those are the features you can expect on there, and it is free, too. It's a free download. So download it for free, and, you know, check it out. You like it. You won't be disappointed.
Cool. And I know one thing that I did want to ask you, because it seemed like a lot of fans had this question, was if you had any plans
to make any actual hard copies of this release?
Yeah, I do. And the hard copies are coming soon. They're getting printed up as we speak. So the hard copies will probably be available in about a week. So, yeah, the hard copies are there, and you can get the hard copies at ritz.bigcartel.com, and it's coming real soon. We kind of shut the store down, just kind of rebuilding new merch, waiting for the Revival CD up. So in about a week or so, everything's going to be back up and running, and everything will be good to go.
Right. For everyone listening, there you go. Everyone had that question. Hard copies are on the way. One thing I wanted to ask you, which is the title of the release, White Jesus, definitely a name that is eye-catching and maybe even a little controversial to some people. Where did this title originate from?
The title came from my boy Kenji. You know, I got long hair and shit, so I didn't always have long hair. So I kind of grew it out, and all my homies were like, damn, he's growing his fucking hair out. And that was a while back. So my boy Kenji would come over and be like, yo, what's up, White Jesus, when he seen me with my hair down. So I just thought when it was time to come out with something, let's call it White Jesus. And it was to kind of stir up a little bit of stuff, but, you know, it is what it is. It's nothing. It's not blasphemy. It's what I'm saying to White Jesus. It's nothing that deep. It's just a nickname. It's how my homie was calling me, how he thought I looked with my hair down. So that's kind of where it came from.
Yeah, and you just mentioned your actual appearance, and that was something I was really curious about is, you know, with the long hair and everything, have you ever been held back because of the way you look?
Oh yeah, man, it's horrible. It's like a gift and a curse, you know. And it goes back, and this is really important to where I'm at right now. It's kind of crazy. And I don't want to be too long with this answer, but it goes back to where I was at in the game. The game's different now with the internet and everything else. But back when I was really pushing it, you know, there was a couple white rappers, and that was it. Everybody had fades. Everybody had this. So I was just trying to do something different. I always knew I could grow a fro. So I used to keep a fro underneath my fitted cap, and then it kind of grew. You know, and when it grew, I was like, man, it kind of looks like Sean Paul in the UA video. I like this shit. So plus it separated me. And then back then, everything was on your image, and it was like, yo, keep the hair, dog. The hair, the hair, the hair. You got to keep the hair. To be on some real shit, I really don't give a shit about this hair. Like, it's everybody else that does. Like, it's a pain in my ass in the summertime on stage. It's, you know, but it separates me from the rest. So you got some people that won't listen to me because of the way I look and judge me on the way I look. And then you got the same amount of people going, dude, whatever you do, don't cut your hair. Like, it just shows how much looks are that big of a deal. Like, it's ridiculous. You know, it's crazy. So, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm a long hair rapper, and, you know, people can either like it or not.
Definitely. And there's a lot of people out there like that, so.
Yeah, I've never realized how much fucking hair matters. I mean, grown-ass dudes online, like, talking about hair, like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's crazy. But now, even if I wanted to, I couldn't cut it, because you'd have the same dudes being like, dude, why'd you cut your hair, bro? I don't know if I like Ritz anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Right. For everyone out there, stop worrying about the hair. Worry about Ritz's music.
Yeah, listen to the goddamn music.
Yeah. I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, about your heartfelt music and those kinds of tracks. It seems like you and Yellow are really comfortable at recording tracks like that, especially like Sleep at Night, which is really interesting because to me this is subject matter that maybe some rappers wouldn't want to tackle.
Right.
Are these tracks that are coming from real life experiences?
Yeah. Sleep at Night came from definitely real experiences. It's basically not based on one experience, though. It's kind of like two experiences mixed up in one. Yellow Wolf, when we actually first started going in the studio recording White Jesus, the first night I actually went to the studio, he was like, man, I got a record for you. And he played the hook, and I was like, oh, man, it's perfect for me. So, yeah, it definitely came from real experiences. And it happens to everybody, man, unless you're, like, super player pimp dude. And if you are, man, congratulations. But if not, man, you know, sometimes, shit gets emotional, man, when you're in these relationships. And most of the, you know, a lot of times you hear it happen to girls. You never hear the dudes side of the story to things, especially not from a rapper or, you know, somebody trying to keep their guard up. So, you know, it's definitely some real shit.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those listening, Sleep at Night is a track that is on White Jesus Revival. Go and get that. Definitely a great track.
Yeah, got the video out. Watch the video. Video's on YouTube. Check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Check the video out. Great video. As we're winding down here, I want to make sure we get to just a couple more callers. Again, if you're trying to get through, please call us at 347-994-3066 and press 1, and we will put you through to Ritz. Let's see what Josh in California has to say.
Hey, Ritz.
Josh, what up, doc?
Not much, dog. First off, I want to show love and respect for your talents. I can definitely see by your hard work your talents are limitless, and we definitely agree with Yellow. You should definitely just get out there, do whatever you're doing, because you're dope for sure.
Man, thank you.
I know Yellow's put out some albums that are really kind of off the beaten path to show his versatility. I was wondering if you plan on switching your flow up ever. I really love what you're doing with the fast-paced rap, laying it down, just like you said, do or die, Twister. I grew up in the Midwest and in the South, so
right.
I get down with the Midwest snipers. I'm wondering if you plan on doing any albums kind of a little bit off, slowing it down maybe a little bit. You do a lot of stuff that's really heartfelt, so you can really get your point across. And
right. I mean, you know what? I kind of just take it as I'm gonna go with it wherever it takes me to. I'm not going to switch it up too drastically. Like, you know, at some point, I want to show everybody that I can do more than just double time. You know, I can definitely do more. I can rap however anybody, you know, wants to hear me rap or however I want to rap. But, you know, I just kind of let it go where it goes. But right now, I mean, the type of music, I try to make the type of music I like to listen to, in other words. So that's the type of rap music I like. I like those type of beats. I like those type of hooks. I like those type of that type of vibe. You know what I'm saying? So as of right now, I'm going to keep making the same type of shit I make, and, you know, see where it takes me. So, you know, and if something comes up that's a little bit off the beaten path here and there, maybe, you know, it might work, it might not. But, you know, I'm just going to do whatever, wherever it takes me. But right now I'm going to stick to the formula I've been working with. It seems to be working all right.
Awesome. Shout out to Josh from California. Great question.
Hey, Josh, shout out, homie. I appreciate it, bro.
We have someone, and I believe they're coming straight from Scotland, if I'm not mistaken, Alex.
Oh, wow. Alex,
yo,
what up?
Hello. Yo, how's it going, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm not bad. Two things I want to ask. First off, have you heard any Scottish rap before? Or any rappers from Scotland?
No, I haven't. I haven't. Never have, dog.
Secondly, may I rap a quick verse for you that I think you're going to like? I do rap in an American accent because I think it sounds better.
But look, do this. Do it, but do it quick when that way, and just in case they cut you off, man, because he said they got a freestyle thing. But go ahead, spit that shit.
Give me the rhythm and I'm going to spit the illest lyrics on top of it like a chap taking a pop like I was busting rhymes. But you don't even understand what I said, so instead just try playing the track back a couple times. But you ain't never going to get it because your brain ain't even running half of the pace in a race while I've been on mine. Because I can spit a fucking song in the time that it takes for you to write it and record just a couple lines. Popping a cup of top of the cup of Japanese drop a bitch and cover the Russian box on the killer's fine. I'm a soccer bitch, I'm a knocker bitch, chop a bitch, and four tops with pop and shit. A bitch got so much air in his lungs, I'm on top of it. I'm rocking with the apocalypse, got his own shadow stopping it. You want a couple of boxes of socks and I'm always rocking the top. He said I'm on top of the game and it came to change it. But I couldn't change your name and just made it become strange.
Dope, dog. God damn, that's fast.
Yeah, I've been
Ooh, that's tight, bro.
You know what it was? It was hearing Worldwide Choppers with Yellow Wolf and that. Yeah. I used to be all Eminem this, Eminem that, and then I heard Yellow Wolf and I was like, no offense to him, but fuck Eminem.
but that chopper shit got you on that fast shit, man. That's dope, dog. That's really dope, man. I'm hoping to get out there to Scotland too, man. Fuck with you, dog. Hit me up online too, bro.
So I will do. I will do. You guys can check it out on Facebook. It's Lex Lethal.
What is it?
Lex Lethal.
Lex Lethal, everybody from Scotland. That's what's up, man. Hey, thanks for calling, dog. Keep doing your thing.
Awesome, man. Straight from Scotland. And yeah, you're right. We do have a thing about freestyling, but I can't be mad about a dude from Scotland freestyling on here.
Yeah, man, I'm killing your rules today, man. I'm killing the rules. But nah, dude was crazy. That shit was fast as fuck, man. Shout out to him, man. Lex Lethal killing that shit.
Absolutely. Let's see what Bianca in Idaho has to say. Bianca.
All
right, cool.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Bianca?
Well, my brothers are like a really big fan and like, I'm like a really big fan too, and my brothers are like, they're always telling me like, I swear like I'd be the happiest person alive if I ever got the chance to like go see them in concert and stuff. So I was just wondering like when your next concert was gonna be here in Idaho.
I don't know. We were up there last year in I think October or September. But hopefully soon, if I ever am, like, just holler at me. Are you on my Facebook or Twitter?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook.
You're on my Facebook? Well, look, go on there today and say it's you. That way I know. That way if I'm ever up there, you know, I'll holler and tell y'all to come and get in, and that way we can all meet or whatever.
All right.
But, look, I really appreciate it. Tell your brothers and everybody I said what's up, and thank you.
All right. Will do.
All right, cool. High five. Okay. We'll talk to you later. All right, peace.
All right. Thanks to Bianca from Idaho. Let's take one more caller here as we're winding down. Let's see what Rob in California, he has a good question. Let's see what he has to say.
Okay, cool.
Yes, I got through. Rich, what's cracking?
Yeah, what's up, Rob?
Man, seriously, first of all, you are the best rapper out there right now, and everyone just needs to get it straight. You are the fucking best, and I don't know why you're not as recognized. I swear, bro, I fucking swear. But,
man, it is. It's a long road, dog. It's like everybody, you know, but thank you, dog. The more people like you, the better, man. Thank you very much, man.
You're welcome. But my question is, like, Yellow Wolf got me into you, and I started listening to Yellow Wolf with his new stuff, and then I found Creek Water. And I know you have older stuff like that with, like, DJ Jelly, but, I mean, I played the shit out of all of your new music, man, so... I'm trying to find some old tracks that you have, like,
you know what, man? We never put any old tracks out. I'm sure as time goes by, people will put them out. I mean, I've been making records since 95. Like, from 95 to 2003, I had a group called Rollo and Rich, and we had CDs that we put out every year with, like, 20-something songs on them. And at some point, I'm sure those will surface, and some of it's pretty fucking horrible. But some of it might be dope to you. But the Johnny Valiant shit I did that when I first met Yellow Wolf, that was what I was working on. What happened was is when I recorded that, I was running the studio myself. So all the music that I was doing, my computer crashed. So all that music was gone. So anybody that has copies of that are like my people that I know. Like, they have, like, the 20-something songs that I had back then. But I'm sure they'll surface at some point, man. And if I had it, I'd put it out there like that. But I really don't even have it like that. Like, I got a few here and there on different CDs. But, you know, different shit. I'm sure shit will surface, man. But if you see it, definitely post that shit up. That shit's, some of it's going to be fucking hilarious.
All right, there you go. Rob and Kelly, thanks for the call. Awesome.
Hey, shout out, Rob, man. I appreciate it, dog.
Rich, man, as we're winding down here, you know, are there any last thoughts that you want to give out to the fans and all the listeners right now?
The last thoughts for the fans and listeners, for anybody that knows about me already, I just want to say thank you because this really is a job and it's hard work and it's somebody's life. Like, I've been working hard for this for years, so for anybody that's ever, like, been interested in my music or supported it, I really appreciate that shit. And that shit is real. It's not like... You know, when you look at the game from the outside looking in, it's different. So thank you to everybody who supported it and everybody who doesn't know who I am. When you hear the Chris Calico track, it's going to be dope as fuck. You're going to love it. When you hear the Tech track, it's going to be crazy. Shit's coming. So shout out to everybody. Shout out to my whole crew. Shout out to Transcend, J-Dot. Shout out to everybody that fucks with me. Shout out to the whole ATL, Northside. That's what it is.
Definitely. You know, I want to say, first of all, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, bro.
Absolutely. We hope we can have you on here again. To our listeners, I want to say that is our show for today. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for all the great calls, all the questions. Please make sure to tune in tomorrow when Strange Music Zone, Cess Crew, will be live on the podcast at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. As we wind down, let me just remind you all to please follow Ritz at The Real Ritz and make sure you grab that White Jesus Revival on DJBooth.net right now. Once again, thank you to everyone who joined us. And as always, remember to keep it strange.
Strange Music.
See ya.